This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. It's your host, the Cowboy, with my partner in crime, John D'Amato. And we're here with this week in the NFL, Week 5. John, how goes it?
Very well. The autumn wind is upon us, and the autumn wind is a Raider. It might be the only time we can say that all year. The Raiders actually got in the W column.
Little bit of help. They got a little bit of help, a little bit of, you know, the type of thing that only happens to the Browns. That call reversal was suspect, to say the least. But yes, good for the Raiders. The Raiders are in the win column. And sorry we missed you guys last week. Traveling schedules. John and I are both pretty busy guys, and we just couldn't make it work last week. But because of that, we're gonna be extra on point tonight. Am I right, John?
Yeah, we're very busy. The only difference is you're busy working, and I'm busy doing a whole lot of nothing, but a whole lot of self-entertaining.
I've been on vacation all week, and I tell you, this not doing anything thing, I think you're onto something, John. I'm looking forward to it.
What do the kids call it? Living your best life?
Exactly.
I could write the book on that.
Exactly. Good for you, John. And, you know, the beauty of it is, guys, that John doesn't have a whole lot going on other than just pouring through stats. He watches every minute of every game every week so he can bring that wealth of knowledge to our show here.
That's right. Every Wednesday, it's on display with the Wednesday AM quarterback. I hear people are reading it, taking like 5-10 minutes of their week, and they're reading it weekly. That's great.
It's a great column. It's a great column, and we're
it's short and sweet. It's just the few things that stick out to me. I just spit out there, so I appreciate the support.
Yes, sir. So why don't we get right into it here? We're taping on the Thursday night, about 7:25 Eastern time. So about an hour away from hopefully another thunderous Patriots victory.
Yeah, but so by the time it kicks off, four more Colts will go on the IR, or at least will be inactive for the game.
It's a tough week for the Colts. I mean, they were coming into Foxborough is never easy, and you know, pretty much their whole offense is is injured.
Yeah, I hate to beat the dead horse. I'm sorry if I repeat myself, but these Thursday games are so slanted towards the home team. I foolishly last week I picked it wasn't that foolish. The Vikings actually hung in there and gave the Rams a good game, but these games are just so favor the home teams.
Agreed. Great segue though. What a game that was, huh? Vikings Rams. Rams getting it done, 38-31, and you know, the other thing that Thursday night has kind of become known for is for like defensive slogs, and this was anything but that. Both offenses, huge games. This Rams offense looks really, 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 really a Cadillac offense. What were your thoughts there?
Oh, well, first of all, overall, it's a big difference. The Thursday night games last year were horrific. There was some disasters, and I think they made a little extra effort going to Fox and with picking up the slate, and also with the improved teams. Like even going back, we missed you know, our show last week, but going back, that Jets Browns game was a thriller. I really dug that game. That was, and
Baker,
not just Baker, but the Jets put on an exciting game. You know, two teams that take a lot of shit for you know, being the laughingstock, but they put on a great game. And then going back to last week, yeah, just an offensive show with the Rams, and Cousins came out firing. They were very impressive, but Zimmer's defense got shredded, and he's in there for Vikings as a coach. When your specialty pulls a flat line like that, then that's the first time there's got to be some questions about Zimmer. He's been having a lot of success since he came in, but him and a few other coaches around the league that are known for their defense. When that's your specialty and your defense gets shredded, then that's a red flag.
Agreed, and very disappointing start for the Vikings, sitting at 1-2-1. They seem like a better team than that. I've seen some of the old Washington folks talking about, you know, Cousins kind of being just good enough to lose, and he always turns it over at the end. I thought he played great, but he did turn it over at the end. Don't know how much of it was his fault, but the from a defensive standpoint, the Vikings really missed Everson Griffin. We hope he gets well soon, because obviously there's something going on there. But in general, this Rams offense, I don't know if anyone can stop them. I mean, they are really clicking on all cylinders, and Goff seems to be the perfect quarterback for that McVay system. And I mean, their weapons are incredible, and kind of tough to not call them your Super Bowl favorite at this point. I know it's early, and anything can happen.
Yeah, definitely in the NFC. I mean, what could stop them from getting the number one seed at this point? Even after just 4 weeks, they've pretty much got it not sewn up. But it'll take a really big surprise if they don't get the number one seed, an avalanche of injuries or something.
Yeah, I mean, the other teams 3-1 are the Saints. Who are they capable? And then the Bears. Bears look good. We'll have to talk about them too. What's up with all the 6 touchdown pass, 450 yard games? I think it's the rules.
It's the rules, and it's the poor defenses. You talk about teams like Tampa Bay, which has absolutely no defense. And that Raiders Browns game, they were just going up and down the field to see without any stops. And also the Chargers 49ers, there's so many teams that I don't know if it's the rules, the injuries. It's not just one thing, but it's definitely favored towards the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing offense it's kind of trended this way for a while, but we're seeing offense really this year. It's particularly passing offense where the numbers are just completely out of this world. So it makes the games fun to watch. I'll say that. And I think kind of like, well, the NBA did something similar, right? With the hand check rule after the Heat and your Knicks kind of set basketball back 50 years in the
yes.
No one wants to see any 75-74 playoff games.
Yes, unfortunately, that was the last time the Knicks were contenders when they played that style of ball. But that's another subject. But like the Broncos, it looks like they had Mahomes in check for about 2.5 quarters, but even they couldn't keep that up. After a while, it's either the greatness or the talent of the amazing greatness wins out.
Yeah, and we're going to get to Mahomes. That's one of our that should be one of our topics that we discuss here. So yeah, agreed, right on the Rams in the driver's seat for the number one seed. Obviously injuries can happen to anyone, but I think that's probably about the only way they don't get it. Just based on one, they're a great team, and two, their division is so god awful. Besides them, that. I mean, they have a pretty, even for a better team, they have a pretty easy schedule, having to play those, you know, it's essentially six guaranteed wins, I think.
And one last thing on that, what stood out on that last drive was, I guess it got to be kudos to the coaching staff, how they, how the linemen, when they were sacking Cousins, how they threw him away and they made sure not to put any weight on him, you know, for these new rules, and they made sure to stay away from the penalties. It was like they threw him away like 10 yards away and to make sure not to land on him. That's good coaching that shows they're paying attention, not to make the same. I won't even call them mistakes, because just to kind of get in gear with the new way of tackling the new football. Not to shit on like Green Bay and teams that got heavily penalized for it, but it just shows that they're aware of the new system that's going on, and they made sure that they weren't going to let the refs screw him out of that game.
Extremely well coached, and that's with Sue.
And Donald, yeah, guys who are a little shaky with the
So if you could control Sue,
yeah,
that should be coach of the year right there, regardless of record. But yeah, they're a force on both sides of the ball. I mean, their defense actually showed some, you know, showed some vulnerability. But I chalked some of that up to a lot of it up to the you know, Talib being hurt and. Peters was playing hurt. He played really good, but he was playing hurt.
Right, but yeah, but Thielen and Diggs are a dynamic duo.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the Vikings not really getting easier for them with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook appears to have, you know, tweaked the hammy again. He hasn't practiced at all this week. He's probably, you know, good chance he doesn't play. And they're going into Philadelphia, which is no easy game, especially with the Eagles coming off a game that we'll talk about that game next.
There's not any kind of balance in the Vikings offense. It was all after the second quarter is pass on every down. So.
Yeah, Latavius Murray is not a none.
Once the weather turns, you're not going to be able to win like that. And not that they're winning anyway, so it's tough sledding.
So let's talk next. I just mentioned them. The Eagles go into Tennessee and lose a heartbreaker with Mariota hitting Corey Davis right before the end of overtime for the 26-23 victory. Really, really exciting game. So I want to talk about both of these teams, but first the Titans. I think they're kind of the antithesis to everything we just said about a lot of offense, and the games are fun to watch. I mean, their games are terrible to watch, but they're well coached. They play good defense. They control the ball, and they find a way to win. It's like one of these teams where it seems like the sum of the parts is kind of greater than the parts, at least thus far, with them sitting at 3-1. I believe in our preview show I mentioned that I was high on them, but it's kind of the way they have looked. I mean, it's a surprise to me that they're 3-1. Do you think they can keep it up?
Oh, definitely. I had them as a wild card, and but actually Nick had brought it up in a preview. How, I mean, here's Mariotti. He's a top draft pick, and He makes some spectacular plays, and then on the other hand, he just looks god awful. He's one of the most inconsistent players, like within game. I mean, most of the time he gets the job done, but he looks great, and then on the other hand, he's keeping them from putting more points on the board. But they got a solid defense, and it looks like Vrabel's got a good kind of attitude. Where they're all in, you know. I mean, it's easy for a coach can't just go out there and say, okay, we're gonna be bold and ballsy, and we're gonna go for it on fourth down every time, even when it's, you know, fourth or 20 in their own territory. You also have to be smart about it. So, but right now he's got the team behind him and he's got a good attitude and the team's all in on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you on Mariota, but I mean, if you watched this game, I mean, I think this is the best game he's ever played as a pro, because Philly's defense is no joke, and he really shredded them. And that drive in overtime was really, really impressive. So it was.
Yeah, I don't like to shit on officiating because it's a tough job, but Philly got a rough whistle, and this is from a you know, obviously a Giant fan and an Eagles hater. You gotta be honest, man. If anybody could cry about the refs on Sunday, it was Philly. They had the game in hand on a couple of those third and fourth down plays where they got hit with some tic-tacky interference and holding calls.
Little home cooking.
Yeah, but then again, if you show on a replay. And now anything's a fan. You just can't put your hands on a receiver at all. But at certain times of the game, the refs got to keep the flag in the pocket if it has no effect on the play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a proponent of that as well. And I do agree with you. But with all that said, still a good drive at the end of the game for Mariota.
Sure.
The Eagles, on the other hand, they fall to 2-2. Like I said, kind of a crossroads game this week. So, but for what it's worth, Tennessee goes to Buffalo this week for what you never know, but what should be a victory to put them up to 4-1 if they can win that one. The Eagles, like as we mentioned, kind of a crossroads game with them and the Vikings. It's really probably more of a must-win for the Vikings, but you can make the argument it's a must-win for the Eagles as well. They don't want to be 2-3. They're home.
No, it's definitely more of a must for the Vikings. The Eagles, it looks like the East isn't too strong, that a 9-7 or a 10-6 might take that division. So the Eagles could afford it, but I don't think so. I would lean towards the Eagles, but the desperation factor has to be more on the Vikings. They can't fall to 1-4. That Buffalo game was a killer for them because that was a bye week and that they turned down. So that turned out to be a real killer.
I think they thought it was a bye week, John.
Yeah, well, Sean McDermott had different ideas than Josh Allen.
The survivor pool killer. That's what that game was. It was. I know we didn't have a show last week, but I was. I had mentioned I was going to be in Florida, so I was at the NBC Sports Zone in Universal by myself watching the games, and the place was just in disbelief. Like you kept waiting for Minnesota for the light to click on, and they just sleptwalk. I mean they read the press clippings. It was that's an indictment on the coach. You'll never see, I don't want to say a Belichick coach team, but a well coached team go in and lay an egg like that. It's that's
and also the Cousins detractors too. Because he gave them 14 points with a couple of fumbles in his own territory right away. So the Cousins detractors had a field day too, and that was right after he led them to a comeback with Green Bay in a game that they should have won. They only got the tie because of the kicking issues. So that's the Cousins, if you want to make all that money and say you like that, you got to bring it every week. I don't think his fans like that too much.
Brutal. It's a brutal loss.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. So we had a battle for in the AFC East last week where
you want to call that a battle?
The 3-0 Dolphins went in to take on the 1-2 Patriots, and if the Dolphins
game,
could
that was the most easiest. I mean, I hate playing Nostradamus with all the predictions, but that was the easiest game to call last week. Predictable result.
The funny thing is here in New England. And I mean, I can tell you, we didn't have a show, but I was a little, the way they played against Detroit was ugly. That was a really ugly game.
Yeah, it's rare where they lose two in a row, but to lose three in a row at home to Miami, there was no way. Not from this opinion, but I can imagine that, the sky was falling in New England.
It was. Lost
two in a row by more than 10 points for the first time in like 15 years.
It's true. It's true,
I'm
but
sure. But I think Dan McGinn was going to burn his McCourty jersey.
But in all seriousness, it was. I think the way the Patriots won was kind of how they had to win that game. They needed confidence. They looked like shit against the Lions. I don't know if Belichick was throwing our boy Matty Patricia a bone, but I mean that was really really ugly. But they came out, and for the first time all year, really, they looked like the Patriots. Miami certainly helped by just playing terribly, but I think they found something. I think it might have been kind of addition by subtraction with Rex Burkhead going down, because it's tough for anyone to get a real, especially running backs. Running backs need carries and need work to kind of get going.
Yeah. And BB doesn't really play rookies too much. You got to earn his trust, but he had no choice to put him in there.
Right, and I think I would say the same thing if Michelle went down. I think either guy would be better with 20 carries than 10 each. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not his style though, but.
Just me.
He might have to change his ways for a while. He might have to change his long ways. And also, I've been a detractor, but Josh Gordon gave him a nice spark in there.
Yeah, and he didn't play that much. Beat him.
Yeah, but the plays he made were very dynamic near the goal line. That gave him a real boost.
Yeah, just somebody to come in and to be a threat downfield is huge. And now Edelman's back tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's going to do wonders for the offense.
The arrow's pointing up. I know they're a game back, but I mean, with the way the AFC East is, looks similar to the kind of the Rams situation.
Edelman's going to do wonders for Chris Hogan, because who showed that he's nowhere near a number one receiver, but he's one of those guys that could be one of the best number two or three receivers in the league.
Yeah, and it's like people always, when Edelman's out, that they kind of assume Hogan's going to step into that role, but he's not a slot receiver. He's an outside receiver. He's not comfortable in the slot. But I think you'll see this looks more like your standard Patriots team, where they're going to spread it around. Hogan will have some big games. I think Gordon will have some big games. Edelman and James White will be your steady Eddies. And yeah, Michelle looks like a real talent. So again, even it's tough to say a game back that you're like a lock to win the division. But I think Miami showed they're not very good. And I was told to go on record for our good friend and host of Place to Be podcast, JT Justin. Justin wrote into the tip line for this week in the NFL and wanted it on record that he predicts the Dolphins to finish the season at 5-11. So Justin, consider it noted. We've also forwarded it to Freezing Cold Takes.
Let's see. That's a tough one. They still have two with Buffalo, so you figure they're going to get one of those. And they usually split with the Jets. They already got their Jet game, so we'll give the Jets the other one. And looking on the schedule, Mr. Rosero is looking good, because I see a lot of that Minnesota, a lot of that Green Bay. I see a lot of automatic L's. So. At Cincinnati, so that would be a good call by Mr. Rosero.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like him being willing to go out on the ledge, you know, strike that Dolphins team down.
Hopefully he's not out on the ledge watching his Jets, because he might jump.
Yes. The Jets were supposed to, you know, they looked pretty feisty week one, but it's been downhill for them since then. I mean, Darnold's a kid. I think that's what it comes down to. Darnold's a kid, and he doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. And they need, you know, they're a year or two away. I still think.
Oh yeah, no, this is a house money year. I'm sure they weren't expecting that much. It's just development of Darnold, but it has to be disappointing though that their defense has come up short. And that's once again, it goes back to another one of those coaches, that Bowles. He's a defensive guy, and if you're a head coach and your specialty is defense, and your defense is crapping out, then you know there's only one thing, and that's the next step, and that's, you know,
looking
for new. Yeah,
yeah, he's gone. I mean, I think he's gone.
Well, nah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't be definitive like that, but that's one of the red flags.
You heard it here first. If they lose to the Broncos this week, I don't think Bowles is coaching them in week six.
They're not gonna do it. I wouldn't do it in season. I don't see an in season.
I think they're doing it in season, John.
All right. Hey,
it's another bold prediction.
You heard it here first.
Nostradamus, as you say.
Oh, my God. Nostradufus is right here, but yeah, you're better with those.
And then from the Pats to our other hometown team here, Saints Giants. We'll talk Saints Giants. So,
do we have to?
The Saints look good. They get Mark Ingram back this week. The offense already clicking pretty well. Kamara's amazing, isn't he?
Yes, definitely. No, in all seriousness, the Saints, also their defense either stepped up or maybe it was because of the incompetence of the Giants, but the Saints defense was getting tore up the first three games, and they stepped up, came up with a pass rush, and they stopped the run. They didn't let Barkley get out of control, so maybe their defense is turning a corner.
Yeah, I mean, their defense was good last year, and I mean, they were awful the first three games, but they did play better in this one.
I was expecting them to be improved, sure.
The fact that, I mean, I think they were getting killed with big plays, and I'm not trolling you or anything, but the fact that Eli's unwilling to throw it more than 7 or 8 yards downfield.
Nah, it's the truth. I could take it. It might have some,
you know, I think, you know. Sure. I think, I don't know what's going on there, but. You got to take shots. You got to take shots, especially with the guys you have. You know, you can't have Sterling Shepard leading the team in receiving every week, averaging 8 yards a catch.
Yeah, or the 2 yard Barkley checkdowns. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it's just a culmination of the hits over the years that he's kind of shell shocked now, and it's just not working out.
And you're seeing Beckham with showing a lot of frustration. But the tough thing is, I don't really know what the solution is. I mean, you can't. Their backup is the rookie, right, from this year's draft.
Oh yeah, there's no way. There's no solution as far as another play, but, you know, another quarterback. That's not going to happen this year.
You just got to hope the light goes on, because it's, you know.
Yeah, but also the thing is they got to help him out. I'm not an Eli defender, but they got to help him out with once in a while some short fields. Their return game is horrific. They just signed another guy. They're gonna have like their fifth kickoff returner in 5 games. Their defense is not getting any penalties, and also their defense is giving up a lot of field goals and a lot of yardage and keeping them in deep. Deep zones where Eli's got to go 80, 90 yards. Give him a little turnover, give him a short field once in a while, and maybe things will open up. That's about the only hope. Like we saw in his brother's last couple of years, where he barely had to do anything. At least the defense helped him out.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great defense. I mean, if the Giants could, you know, come up to average, it would be helpful. And the line's obviously a problem. It's not going to get any easier this week, unfortunately, going to Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina off a bye week. That's definitely not things aren't looking up. And even in the one game they won versus Houston, J.J. Watt still had three passes to the quarterback for 3 sacks. So
and he hadn't had a sack since October, I don't think.
But the thing with Eli, it's not so much an age thing. That's always how he's been. He still makes a couple beautiful throws, and then there are some throws that are off. And also, like you said, he's not willing to. He hasn't been willing to hang in there and look for the deep and look for the big bombs.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing with Beckham. I mean, you got to at one point or another, you just got to give him a chance, you know.
Yeah, because they can't stop him. There was the first game in Jacksonville where they were just throwing it up and they can't stop him. He got like 2 or 3 penalties in a row. So worst comes to worst, you tell him to go long and he'll at least draw a penalty.
Yeah, I mean he's one of the three or four best receivers in the whole NFL. It's criminal the way he's being used now. But hopefully. I mean, I'm sure that we're not the only ones saying this. So hopefully.
Yeah, we got to give. With new coaches, you got to give him not so much a pass, but in the first year, you got to let him work things out. And some coaches, you know, don't just step in there and dazzle you the first few games. Sherman's still feeling his way along. Plus, this roster's been turned over like three quarters from last year's disaster. So you can't just bring in a half of a new team, or three quarters of a new team. As like I said before, they got guys that are. They have a new kick returner every week, and they're shuffling guys in and out of the offensive line. So it's a work in progress.
Agreed. All right, moving on. We had the Sunday night tilt. Good first half, and then the Ravens just beat the hell out of the Steelers in the second half. Really impressive performance by their defense. I mean, the Steelers' offense did nothing, and I mean nothing in the second half. And Joe Cool played great as well, and has all season. They look for real. I think the Steelers will be all right, especially hearing Bell's coming back week 7. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, the Steelers' defense got torched. They gave up like 14 points in the first like 2 minutes, but after that, the defense kind of buckled down and they gave they gave the offense a chance. But Big Ben was speaking about inaccurate too. He was missing. He was doing some horrible throws, missing some targets, wide open targets.
Yeah,
which was shocking.
I mean, he had that. He just had an off night. I mean, which doesn't usually happen to him at home, but he had the ball. The ball slipped out of his hands like three or four times. I mean, he does those pump fakes, and yeah, he just couldn't hold on to it.
And, yeah, the defense finally buckled down and stopped them a few times, which was the first time all year where they made some stops. They actually forced the Ravens punter to get some work. But I put that one on Big Ben. He was a little off, and he seems like he doesn't have much chemistry with Antonio Brown so far this year.
Yeah, they looked a little better in this one. They had a nice touchdown, a couple of nice plays. But still, yeah, to your point, he seems to be, you know, Juju seems to be more and more his guy. I mean, I think the overarching theme is that they miss Bell.
Oh, yeah, there's no running threat whatsoever.
And him out of the backfield. I mean, Connor's not a bad player, but Bell is kind of, you know, Bell's right up there with, I mean, he's him and Gurley, right, are probably the two best running backs in the NFL. And Kamara, obviously, is a different kind of guy. But the, you know, just the threat of the run and then the threat of the screen pass, I think, opens up the whole offense. So they have what should be the shootout of the week. We have Atlanta going to Pittsburgh. The Falcons, a team we both like, sitting at 1-3 after a heartbreaker to the Bengals. Time for credit on the Bengals prediction yet? Are we there?
We're getting close, and unfortunately, my horrible Falcons prediction—I was hoping you wouldn't mention that. But yeah, the Atlanta's really let me down as a soft team, and hate to repeat the theme, but Quinn, defensive guy, and his defense is falling apart. Can't stop anybody late in the game.
Injuries. So, I think injuries on that.
But you've seen this the last couple of years. You know, with Atlanta blowing leads, it's like at what point? When you have the lead, do you just stay back and rush the four exhausted defensive linemen? At some point, you got to throw in a blitz. You got to change the scheme or something. You can't just keep doing the same thing. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting the same result. And unfortunately, the same result's going to end up in coaching difficulties.
At what point do we say Andy Dalton's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Ten might be a little. But
he's been great. I mean, I may
go for 15. Yeah.
I mean, he has been great this year.
But the
year.
Thing is, kind of like in the Mariota thing, within the same game, he'll throw one or two horrific interceptions a week, and that's when the detractors will come out and really throw the shit on him. But that's the thing. It's one or two. But overall, he's definitely above average, and he gets results.
Yeah, I mean that division, the Bengals division, is looking like the strongest division in football. Who would have thought that coming into the season?
With the Browns, much improved.
The Browns could be 4-0.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they had the Saints, and they
had the Raiders too. That spot and that was just. That was ridiculous how that game turned around. I don't know. I still don't understand how they lost that game.
It's tough.
Yeah, and with the Bengals, Vontaze Burfict is coming back this week. That's a big boost for their defense.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how long he'll be out there? But before he does something to get suspended again. But he's a great player. He's a great player when he plays. But yeah, with the Browns, I mean, you could make a legitimate argument right now that the Steelers are the worst team in that division.
Oh, the first four games, definitely.
And
I mean, even the one game they won in Tampa, that was because Fitz Tragic handed them like 21 points.
What did you think of speaking of that? What did you think of the Bucs paying all that lip service to, you know, Jameis isn't going to be the starter? Fitzpatrick, first guy in NFL history to throw for 400 yards for the first three games of the season. And then a bad half, and it's over. It's done. I mean, it was a tragically bad half. It was 38-3 at halftime.
No, the Steeler game too. It wasn't just one bad half. He gave. The thing is, he got praised. Oh, he almost came back versus the Steelers. Yeah, the reason why they were down so much is because of his turnovers. That's why he caused the Steelers to get that big lead. So yeah, that wasn't gonna. I never bought into that. But if they were 4-0, it would be hard to make that switch. But it's easy decision.
Agreed. And we were kind of on that Fitzpatrick's done this before in his career.
Oh yeah.
Don't put too much stock into it. But I mean, that was a bad loss. I mean, they made Trubisky look like Johnny Unitas.
Can the Bucs stop anybody? Speaking of tragic, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but getting JPP wasn't going to turn your defense around. Pierre Paul, he's kind of been skating by. I saw the last few years with the Giants, even with Five Fingers, he takes plays off. He's not a big time player anymore.
A little bit of a prima donna too. But speaking, you know, the on one side of the ball there, you have JPP. On the other side of the ball, Khalil Mack.
And wow.
We talked here. We talked here about how ridiculous that was, and we're proven right. I mean, he's probably. I mean, they don't usually give it to defensive guys, but I think through four games, I mean, I would be comfortable saying either him or Mahomes are the NFL MVP. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, like you said, it's tough to give it to a defensive guy, especially when Mahomes is so incredible. But it's only after four games, but he's turned Chicago around into a legit contender.
Yeah, and you know there was some little bit of hype in the preseason that we talked about with Nagy coming in, new coach, new offense. Could they be this year's Rams? And before this game, which I'm going to need to see Trubisky do it again. He doesn't have to do that again, but he did not look good the first three games. And then the Bucs defense might as well have not even been on the field. But through the first four games, it's really on the defensive end. Nagy's, and it's kind of the other way around, right? Nagy's an offensive genius, but just bringing that guy in and adding him to their young core that they already have made them one of the best defenses in the league, and the offense is just good enough to get it done.
Yeah, they could have had that Green Bay game if the quarterback would have made a couple more plays, got a couple more first downs. They could have kept that. They could have kept that comeback, that Rodgers famous comeback from happening, but. But he's young and still learning.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's just what you saw with the Rams last year, where Goff went from looking like he didn't, you know, when playing for Jeff Fisher, like he never picked up a football before, to being the second coming of Joe Montana. No, but I think the Bears are for real. I think they're the best team. I mean, they have the best record, but I think they have a real, real chance. Like, I would make them the favorite to win that division right now. I know we get enamored every year with Rodgers, but you just watching Green Bay play, they're not that good. Even with him at full strength, I mean, he's kind of, you take him off the team and they're like 2-14. So it's like the LeBron James factor.
Yeah, they got about three receivers that might not play this week, and Rodgers tried to give that boost to defense. He praised their defense, but then again, it was only Buffalo. He said the offense has to pick it up, like our defense. But that was just versus Buffalo. They didn't really stop anybody. They had that Minnesota game, and they couldn't stop them, and that turned into a tie. So yeah. I have to be convinced about Green Bay. Their defense usually gets softer as the season goes on.
The win against Buffalo doesn't prove anything, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, it's what you're supposed to do.
But going back to the Bears, that's the thing that sticks out. It's because what we talked about at the top of the show, how many teams have a legit shutdown defense? All these 50-40 games, what's going to win for you in the end is a team with corners that could stop somebody, that could rush the passer, that can make some stops. That's what's going to get you to through in the playoffs.
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, there's two teams in the league, right?
Them
and Jacksonville, right? And that's it.
Yeah, well, I like Philly in the clutch.
Yeah, not this week, but.
Yeah.
They played a They've proven it. But what I'm saying is, teams that their defense is good enough to kind of carry a bad offense, like Philly.
Yep.
Philly, when they're clicking on all cylinders, I mean they've got both, right? I don't think their defense is as good as the Jags or the Bears, but their offense is a lot better when they're clicking on all cylinders. The Jags offense is very trick or treat with mostly trick, but that defense is ferocious. And the Bears, I think, are kind of in a similar boat there, where if Trubisky doesn't like lose the game, kind of like Bortles, they can hang with anybody.
Yep.
And so we have the Bears. This Bears are on the bye week this week. And speaking of the Jags took care of business against the Jets, and they're going to Kansas City this week. So let's talk about Kansas City first. So Monday night, Chiefs at Broncos. You alluded to it earlier. First time we've seen Mahomes right in the spotlight in the nationally televised game, and also against a real defense. The Broncos have a real defense on the road under the bright lights when things weren't going his way. And I don't know what we can say about what he did in the fourth quarter that hasn't already been said, but I just want to know how this kid sat behind Alex Smith all last year. He is a super stud. He seems like he has the tools, right? He's got the huge arm. He's got mobility. He seems to have the swagger. But to perform like that under pressure kind of kicks it up even another notch for me. And I mean, I'm all aboard the train. The train might have already left the station, but I'm hanging on. What do you think?
I was looking that back and I was cursing my Giants for taking Evan Engram over him in the draft. I was like, how do we miss this kid, man?
And you don't need a quarterback. That was the Giants don't need a quarterback. That's
well, anyway, I'm not alone in that because what did he go?
Nine.
Yeah, so other teams passed on him too. So
what a great class, though. That's the other thing. I mean, Mahomes and Watson. Watson went after Mahomes, and then Trubisky. I mean, that's one heck of a quarterback class.
Yeah, no regrets there with Watson, but other teams that passed on him got to be thinking how they missed out. But yeah, he's got the total package.
And you could say what you want. I mean, about Reed, but he clearly the guy knows how to coach offense. You saw what he did with McNabb.
Oh yeah, Andy Reid. He's just got to get whatever seems to fall apart with him in the playoffs, and he's just got to take that next step. Otherwise, there's no qualms with Andy Reid. He would have still been a Philly. Just after a while, when you keep falling short in the playoffs, you got to save your best stuff for the playoffs, and we'll see how that comes.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, even though their defense actually played better in this game than they have been, but
yeah, but still, at the end, Cousins had an open receiver Keenum right at the end. I mean, come on, there was an open receiver. The game was right there, and that was Keenum with no timeouts and everything. And that's all you got to do is protect the end zone, and right there on the sidelines he had him.
So. Demaryius, yep. Yeah. You know, we don't talk about this stuff too much, but I had a vested interest in Demaryius catching that pass and scoring a touchdown. And
and even on hook and ladder play, they could have got burned on. So their defense has to tighten up.
I was cursing Keenum. Keenum's, I mean, no two ways about it. Keenum hasn't been good. I mean, he was supposed to be an upgrade on what they had.
Yeah.
I guess he's been a little bit of one, but
I don't know what they expect. Keenum's scrappy, but but then again, you're talking about a guy who he wasn't even drafted, right?
Right, he was not drafted.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's scrappy.
He put up big numbers for Minnesota.
Yeah, he's scrappy. He keeps you in there, but if you want to put the game on his arm, that's tough, man.
It is. Well, they have a running game, though. Both rookie running backs look good. Lindsey looks like a wicked steal. I mean, he was undrafted, too. I mean, he's good. He's a good player. And
That's another reason why you shouldn't take a running back with the second pick when you could just get one that's undrafted and to rush for more yards.
Saquon, I think, is a generational talent. He's really good. No, but you're right. The argument, you don't make an argument. It's not an argument against Saquon, the player. It's just an argument about what's available at the position, right? You could have drafted Darnold. Right?
It seems like every year they pull it. There's like an undrafted running back, or there's somebody that comes through in a late round that winds up leading the league. Even the guy, a Breeder, right? He wasn't a high pick.
Sixth round, I think. But Kamara was the third round pick, right? Second or third round pick.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. And I mean, especially number two overall when your quarterback's old like that. Like, cause you could draft Darnold and then have any one of a number of guys as your running back, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Right now, it doesn't look too good, but there'll be more QBs coming out next year, so it might be. It's not like it's the only year where there's quarterbacks coming out.
Of course. So as I was mentioning, some really good games this week, and this is a really really intriguing one. I'd like it even better if it was in Jacksonville, but Jacksonville at Kansas City, 1 o'clock on Sunday. One of the two. I mean, it's tough to say that there's a best offense in the NFL because Kansas City and the Rams are 1 and 1A, but one of the two, definitely the best offense in the AFC against the best defense in the NFL. Definitely could be a preview for a playoff game. How do you see it playing out?
I'm going to go with the home cooking. The Chiefs are at home.
The Chiefs are at home, yes.
I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, I've been skeptical on the Chiefs, but that Monday night game, seeing Mr. Mahomes in action, it won me over, so. I'm going to go with the home cooking with the Chiefs. The Chiefs.
I think they'll win the game too. I think it might actually look a lot like that Monday night game. Jacksonville's fired up. Ramsey's already been trash talking Tyreek Hill to the press. He called him a kick returner. He said, "You made the Pro Bowl as a kick returner. I made it at my real position." So that should be that should definitely be a fun one.
I would lean towards the Jags but Fournette looks like he's going to be banged up all year.
He's definitely not playing. In this one, I mean, T.J. Yeldon's a good player, and especially against the Chiefs, where you know you can run on them and the guys can catch passes out of the backfield. He's pretty versatile, so I don't think they'll miss Fournette too much in this game, but. Here's my prediction. I think the Chiefs win kind of a 20-24-21 kind of game, and I think Mahomes throws his first interception of the season. But I just don't think the Jags offense, they're going to need a performance like they had against the Pats. And they're certainly capable against the shit Kansas City defense, but
That was at home, though. I think, Bortles, the crowd's gonna be loud.
KC's a tough place to play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we agree for a change. Well,
hey, you know what?
That means anybody...
Great minds think alike sometimes.
Anybody listening, bet the house on the Jags.
Absolutely. Money line. But... yeah, so we have a number of games this week. We've talked about a few of them. Oakland at the Chargers. So kind of a fun fact I read today is that the Chargers are pumping in crowd noise into practice to simulate even though they're home. So that's that gives you the warm and fuzzies. They think there's going to be a lot of Oakland fans making the trip south. Pretty crazy.
The Chargers situation is so confusing. The way they're playing in a temporary little bandbox, and they're gonna be sharing the stadium with the Rams. When does that start? Next year, or?
Yes, I believe so.
That whole situation is confusing.
All right, so why don't we? Let's do. We're not going to predict all the games, but let's just do kind of a lightning round. We'll do five games. All right. So we already Jacksonville at Kansas City. Both your experts here choose the Chiefs. As John said, you probably want to go the other way. Atlanta at Pittsburgh. You can go first for this one.
Oh man, the Steelers have been killing me all year. I'm going to go with them because I don't like what I see out of Atlanta's defense, whether it's the injuries or just being soft in general. But so something's going on in Atlanta. At the beginning of the year, it was like, oh, we're doomed because of our Sarkisian, our play calling. But now they got their red zone shit together with Ridley scoring a lot of touchdowns, and plus they get Freeman back.
Yep, Freeman's back this week.
Yeah, so their offense is rolling, but their defense, whether it's the injuries or
a sieve,
yeah. So I'm going to say that Pittsburgh gets their shit together this week and pulls it through. Which once again, you probably want to bet the house on the Falcons because I've been on the Pittsburgh train and it's been derailing so far.
Yeah, I'm going to give them one more chance too, John. Steelers, if the game was in Atlanta, I would overwhelmingly pick the Falcons. But Ben's great at home. This seems like a perfect matchup for him. And the Steelers defense is just a little bit better.
But Sunday night, kind of, can Ben have two bad games at home? That was a shocker. Ben's usually off like that, but games on the road. But
right.
He had a stunningly bad home game.
Yeah, and
that was versus the Ravens too, who he usually saves his best for. So that was a little shocking.
He does. Those rivalry games can just be funny sometimes. He could chalk it up a little to that, I think. I mean, he just played like shit. I mean, just being honest about it, he just had a bad game. I mean, it's not like the Ravens defense. They played well. They played very well, especially in the second half. I think they haven't given up a touchdown in the second half all season, which is pretty
impressive. Yeah, but he was missing wide open receivers. He was badly off.
All right, so we're in agreement for two here. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So let's go. Speaking of the Ravens, Baltimore at Cleveland. I'm going to go first on this one. I think Baltimore, I like Baltimore in this game. I can see the case for Cleveland. Cleveland's been playing well, but I see another close loss for the Browns, which is going to continue to happen until they fire Hugh Jackson. You're up.
I'm up. I think I contemplated this one for like 6 hours when turning the old picks in. I think I'm going to lean towards the Browns.
All right.
The Ravens, we finally disagree on something. But, yeah, I'm just going with the Ravens' road mojo isn't gonna help them out 2 weeks in a row and Cleveland you hate to blame it all on the coach, but it's like, come on, when you got a guy Chubb touched the ball three times and got over 100 yards, you might want to feed the guy a little more instead of having Baker just lay back and fling it 50 times in his first start.
Agreed. So, agreed. I mean, they were the better team against the Raiders. They absolutely shouldn't have lost that game. It's all on Jackson.
I think Cleveland's defense is going to be played better, which they were a little disappointed. Man, maybe they just got tired, but they fell apart a little versus the Raiders towards the end. Their defense.
Yeah, it was good. Derek Carr. He shows up about once every 6 weeks, so we'll see him again. Maybe week 10 or 11. All right. Next up. Minnesota at Philly. I think you already told us you're on the Philly train for this one.
This week. I could see the Vikings coming through with the revenge from last year's absolute friggin' no show in a championship game. But I'm leaning towards Philly, which I do most of the time. I think Philly's got the mojo. They got Alshon Jeffrey back. Wentz is feeling his way back, and plus I just love their core of running backs that they bring in and out of there, from Clement to Ajay. When one's hurt, they got a little Smallwood action. So they mix it up. And Minnesota's offense is too one-dimensional. Is that they have no running game whatsoever. And if you let Cousins rear back for 50, 60 times, there's going to be a few times where it doesn't work out for you.
Smallwood is kind of he's a guy close to your heart, right, Sean?
Yeah, that was my nickname in high school, unfortunately. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm with you on Philly. All the reasons you said, dome team coming east, playing outside. Everything you said. I think they're going to lose, and then the alarms are really going to start sounding in Minnesota. And
yeah,
they could be cruising for a bruising.
Yeah, but I don't see anybody in that division running away unless the Bears keep it up.
Right. Oh, I agree. And I mean, the Bears probably aren't going 12-4 or anything like that. You know. So.
Yeah. So the
1-3-1 is no good. Is no good. So.
Yeah, but that's a red flag if their defense plays like they did versus the Rams, put up a performance like that 2 weeks in a row, then that's a red flag for Zimmer, who I'm pretty high on. So I think they'll have a better performance on defense, but I just think Philly is gonna pull it out. Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, we'll close the show with Dallas at Houston, the battle for Texas.
Wow.
It's a tough game. Sunday night football, tough game.
Yeah,
to call.
Dallas is. If there's like one guy that's inexpendable in the whole league, it's got to be Sean Lee. Their defense for the 8 games that Sean Lee plays, their defense is so much different with him in there. But without him, not so much. But Ezekiel Elliott, how great is he? He saved them single handedly with the
he's the whole team. He's the whole offense.
He saved them as a receiver. That was like a wide receiver type catch. He saved them on that winning field goal drive last week. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Dallas and Houston. O'Brien was just playing for a tie that game. They're lucky they even got one in the win column. O'Brien's kind of like a dead man walking.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in Houston. Very disappointed. I like Dallas here too. I just don't think Houston can stop the run. Frankly,
like Houston even got Watt back and Clowney back. They're rushing the passer. They got Watson back, and there's still something missing. They even got they got these two great receivers, and even for the first time the kid played, he won the game for him. That kid Kiki. Yeah, very impressive, and still they needed a friggin' gift from Indy just to get in the W. So when you got all that going, I'm sorry, you hate to throw the coach under the bus.
The Houston defense was the perfect antidote for Luck's bum shoulder. He looked great. He looked like it was 2014.
And even on the play that won him the game, that fourth down, it was just a bad pass by Luck. The guy was open. It was just a rare bad pass by Luck.
Yeah. All right, so we're in agreement there, John. Clocking in at just under an hour here. That's how we do, quick and dirty.
I just wanted to take one cheap shot at your boy, your ex assistant coach Bill O'Brien. The only reason why he got the job is because they said they caught him on camera standing up to Brady and yelling at Brady, and they said, "Oh, this guy's gonna be a great coach. He's got balls to yell at Brady." That was the only reason why he got the stupid job. And this year he's gonna be working about as much as I do at this time next year.
Completely agree, and Bill O'Brien, right up in the Hugh Jackson Hall of Fame. I agree.
That's not nice, but sorry.
So, John, enjoy the games this week. I'm sure we'll be talking, and to all our listeners, all six of them. I heard we're up to six now. All six of our listeners. Hope you enjoyed.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Thanks,
guys. You got anything to plug besides the column?
Wednesday morning. I know it's a busy Wednesday when you got the walk around the web by the great Glenn Butler, and also that's when Stacey's deep diva dive drops. So in between those two, just take 5-10 minutes and check me out and give any feedback. I don't give any scathing opinions. It's just more like observations on what happens.
Check it out, guys. All right, for John, I'm the Cowboy, and we're out. NFL, baby.
Kickoff.
We love it.
Peace.